7. And read through to the end of the chapter. Luke 9 and chapter 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I want to talk to you and leave you with this thought this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart this week. The point of no return. Let's bow our heads together. Let's pray at this time. Lord Jesus, we ask you. We know that you have directed our steps. And this is not a message that I feel empowered to preach today. And with a fervent unction that I have felt in times past. But I know this is a word that you have directed us to share with the congregation. And I pray that as we calmly and dutifully share this word this morning, I pray, God, that it would connect with the people in this building that it needs to connect with. And I pray that their lives would be strengthened and that they would make a decision and a choice to walk closer to you. That they would make a decision to put you first in everything and to follow you at your request. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good to see all of you here today, by the way. You look good. You look almost as good this week as you did last week. And it is wonderful for us to get together. And we've had a wonderful time with our home groups. And of course, all of that is over for several weeks. And we just got started doing a Bible study on prophecy. And we had our first lesson this past Wednesday night. And everything I thought went very well. And we had a good time. And we looked at the scriptures. And we saw some plain teachings of the Bible. And it's fun to speculate, isn't it? It's fun to grasp a hold of something sensational and be the one to tell the next greatest thing that's going to happen. But Jesus was never like that in his teachings. He always taught simple things, plain and straightforward truths. And that's what we want to do with our Bible study prophecy series. And I'm looking forward to next week. Next Sunday is going to be Mother's Day. It's also Picture Day here at the church. We're going to pay for you and your family to have one 8x10 picture taken. And we're going to start service a few minutes early, probably at 5 till 10. And we're going to end a few minutes early before 11. And at 11 o'clock, we're going to start taking pictures. And we have a special speaker next week. And this is going to be somebody new. Somebody that you have never heard speak in this church from this pulpit before. And so it will be a very interesting time for us. And God is going to minister to us and bless us. And so without further announcements here, let me go into the word, what I have to say today. Jesus had just got finished doing some amazing things. He was, of course, healing and the sick bodies, and he was casting out devils and demons that had a hold. There was one story here of a child that was possessed of a devil. And the Bible says that Jesus touched that boy and he was immediately delivered. And there was the making of food and the feeding of 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. That is some food for thought right there, isn't it? And Jesus got done doing some amazing things. And you would think that after all of these amazing things that Jesus is stirring up some some interest in his ministry. And I know there's a lot of excitement about miracles and healings and signs and wonders. But I'm here to tell you that the people that seek after a sign are fickle. The people that seek after miracles and healings and wonders are fickle. And when the miracle is done, they'll be gone just as quick as they came. But Jesus is looking for people that are not just interested in the miraculous. Jesus is looking for people that are not just interested in the handouts that he makes available to us. But Jesus is looking for people that at their hearts love him for who he is. Jesus is looking for people that want to follow him and be led by him. Jesus is looking for somebody that loves him above everybody and everything else. They're known as disciples. Jesus said to preach the gospel. Isn't that what he said? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, baptize people in my name. But what was the purpose of all of that? He said, and make disciples. Jesus is looking for today is a disciple. And a disciple is somebody who chooses to put themselves under the teaching and the tutelage of someone else. A disciple is somebody who chooses Jesus Christ as their mentor and follows him and does whatever that he asks them to do, whenever he asks them to do it. And that is what Jesus is looking for today. And there's a lot of folks that are involved with church, that come and go in the church. And there are a lot of people that are Christians and that are associated, and they are tenuous disciples of Christ. But they haven't yet made up their minds just exactly what they want to do. And there is a power in making up your mind what you want to do in life. When we were twisting balloons, we would always run into kids that had no idea what they wanted. What kind of a balloon would you like? Do you want a sword? Do you want a doggy? Do you want a cat? Do you want a buddy? What do you want? And you could talk to them and talk to them, and they just, you know, all shy and making figure eights with their toes, and they're not going to tell you what they want. And so we had a balloon that we could make for kids that didn't know what they wanted. Kids that couldn't make up their minds, because usually there was a line and other kids wanted to get to the front of the line. So you had to keep the line moving. So we would always make those kids a mugwump. And you all know what a mugwump is, don't you? A mugwump is someone who is sitting on the fence and their mug is on one side and their wump is on the other side. Somewhere along your life, if you're ever going to prosper, if you're ever going to succeed at what God has designed for your life to become, if you're ever going to achieve the greatness that God designed you to achieve, you are going to have to decide what you want to be when you grow up. Somewhere along the line, you are going to have to put your roots down somewhere. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to say, this is what I am called to do and be in Christ Jesus. And God is still calling people to follow him today. In this service right now, how many of you enjoyed the singing and the music? How many of you could feel something in your heart during the singing and the music? You know what that feeling was? That was God calling you to be his disciple. That was God calling you to follow him. But there's a lot of mugwumps in the church. Amen? There's a lot of folks that they like the bread and they like the fish. And they like the miracles and the signs and whatever feel-good things that there are to enjoy about church. And they like the friendships. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I mean, obviously God gives us those things as gifts. We should like them. That would be very unappreciative and ungrateful of us not to like those things. But there comes a place in our walk with God where we have got to make up our minds what we're going to be when we grow up in Christ. If you want to succeed in life, you see this a lot with a lot of people in our generation. There's so many things available. Back in the day, back in Marion's day, back in Sister Bailey's day, there wasn't an option or very many options about what you could become. And if Daddy had a farm, then you knew that when you grew up, you was going to be a farmer. If Daddy was a grocery store clerk, then you knew that when you grew up, you was going to be a grocery store clerk. And things were pretty well set in stone until the Industrial Revolution began to dawn and people began to gravitate away from the farmlands and the rural areas and to gravitate towards the cities. And I think there has been a plateau of that in the United States of America where people are no longer gravitating to the cities like they used to, but they're starting to gravitate back to the countryside. And that's what I did about, about almost 20 years ago. I gravitated from New York City to Jackson, Mississippi. Now, Jackson, Mississippi is not a rural area. Jackson, Mississippi is a major city in the United States of America. But we gravitated from there to Fairfield, Illinois. We gravitated away from that to the country. And I have never regretted making that decision. But I was at a time in my life where I had to make a decision whether I was going to go to college, and I knew I was going to go to college, but I began to realize that God was calling me to follow Him. And God directed my steps to Bible college, and I spent 4 years there. I started out enjoying music and all the things that went along with that. Then I began to realize that's not what God was calling me to. And further, He pulled me away from that into, and He began to put a burning desire in my heart for His Word. And I began to realize in a dawning sort of way as the sun rises in the morning that God was calling me to preach. And I found my way to Fairfield, and I spent many, many years here in Fairfield wondering if this was where I was supposed to be or if this was just an interim thing for me. And somewhere along the line, I made up my mind that I was called to pastor this church in Fairfield, Illinois. And it wasn't until I began to make up my mind that I was called to be here to do this that God really began to grow my ministry. And there are many people in the church that are stuck in limbo. There are many people in the church today that are riding the fence, and their mug is on one side and their wolf is on the other side, and they can't make up their minds whether they want to live for God, be in the church, be in the world, whether they want to be in the ministry or not be in the ministry, whether they want to do this or do that, and they just can't seem to make up their minds what they... And God is calling you today, folks, and He's saying this, follow Me. That's right. The first person that came up to Jesus, and he said, Master, I'm going to follow you. Let me follow you. And wherever you go, I want to follow you. But Jesus looked into his heart. And he saw a man that was interested in getting involved with the accolades, the praise. And no doubt with Jesus performing all these miracles, he was going to become a very wealthy, a very prestigious rabbi in the land. He was going to become very blessed and successful. That was the furthest thing from the truth. Jesus was not going to establish an earthly kingdom at that time. Jesus was not going to become, quote unquote, successful. He was not going to start a school for rabbis. He was not going to be any of those things. He was going to be the Lamb that He had meant and been designed and created to be, slain from the foundation of the earth. And He looked at that man and He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere that He can hang His hat. There is no place for Him to belong. Sometimes when God calls us into the ministry, when God calls us to walk for Him, to live for Him, we have a lot of concepts of what that is going to mean. But somewhere along the line, you begin to realize and find out that this is not a prestigious walk. This is not a place where everybody's going to pat you on the back. Being in the ministry is a very lonely place. And oftentimes there is no one. And you hear this a lot in people, nobody understands me, nobody understands me. And the reality of it is the sufferings that we go through in life, everybody goes through these types of sufferings in their lives. And yes, people understand what you're going through. Yes, there are other people that are going through the exact same things and all of that. But being in the ministry is a very lonely place. And there are times when there is nobody that understands. And sometimes being called of God to do something in this earth is a very lonely place. And he looked at this man that wanted to be his disciple. And he said, if you're going to follow me wherever I go, you're going to have to realize that this is not what you think it is. And there was another man that he said to him, follow me. And he said, but Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus looked at him, and this would seem very callous of Christ at this point. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Doesn't that seem kind of callous of Jesus? But he saw something in this man's heart as well. If you're not going to put God first in your life, you are never going to prosper in your relationship with Him or in anything else that you do. God has got to be first in our lives. But you don't understand. I've got to take care of these bills and I've got to take care of these family issues. And I've got to take care of these family problems. And my family needs me. And all of those things. No, what your family needs is they need somebody that is submitted to Jesus Christ. What your family needs is somebody that is willing to take a stand and follow Jesus. Jesus said, seek me first and seek my kingdom. And all of these other things will be added unto you. If God is not first in our hearts above everything else, then nothing else will ever satisfy us, and we'll never be a disciple of Christ until He becomes first in our lives. And another disciple, would-be disciple, said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, and he saw again something in this man's heart. He was procrastinating. There's a lot of people that got that know what they're supposed to be doing, and they sense and they feel and they've accepted, yes, Lord, okay, Lord, this is the call, this is what you want me to do, blah, 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 blah. But they say, but first, or I need to go take care of some other things. I know this is what I'm called to do, and you've accepted your call, and God's put His call in your life, but I got these other things to take care of first. And it's easy to waste years doing everything but what God calls you to do. What a terrible place to be. How do I know it's a terrible place to be? Because I've been there. I've been there. God called me to do things. The biggest mistake I ever made in my ministry was not having enough faith and trust in God. To believe that what He wanted me to do was the right thing to do. To trust Him enough to know that God knew what He was doing and it was going to be all right. We want everything to be in order. We want everything to be in place. And we want everything to be nice and pretty. But sometimes ministry to people is messy. And there's no better time than right now to start following Jesus. There's no better time than right now to make up your mind between you and God that this is the day that I am going to change everything in my priorities. And God, You are going to be first above everything else. But when I get this taken care of, when I get that taken care of, when I get these things taken care of, you know what happens, don't you? You know what happens? Sure you do. Those things never get taken care of. And the next thing you know, it's 10 years down the road, and you still haven't done what God put in your heart to do. You still haven't answered the call. Follow me. Jesus said to this man, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We have got to reach a place in our lives where it is called the point of no return. A place in our lives where there is no turning back. A place in our lives where we burn the bridges behind us and we make up our minds that no matter what happens, even if it's not pretty, even if I make mistakes, even if I fail, even if I trip and stumble, I am going to choose this path and I'm going to let God work out the details. And I'm the type of person that like everything to be organized. And if you fail to plan, the old saying goes, if you plan to fail. And I think, well, I have a plan. I don't believe that. Paul said we're not like somebody that's beating the air and swinging our arms at shadows. We know what we got to know what God called us to do. We've got to stay focused on it. But sometimes it's just not pretty. God calls you to take a stand, and the next thing you know, your family doesn't love you anymore. Why do you have to go to church all the time? Why don't you spend more time with us? And you're on the job and you tell them, I don't work on Sundays or Wednesday nights because I have to be in church. And your co-workers start saying talking about you behind your back. Well, how come they're like the teacher's pet. How come they don't have to work on Sundays and Wednesdays? That's been a personal conviction of mine for many years. When I came to Fairfield and I got a job, I told the management of Pizza Hut when I started working there, I said, I do not work on Sundays or Wednesday nights. But you know what? They wanted me. So they hired me. And in the year and a half that I worked at Pizza Hut, I worked one Sunday night. So I was actually in church, but I only worked one Sunday night. You got to put your foot in. And then the Lord gave me a job because I was faithful to Him there. He gave me a better job that where the store was actually closed on Sunday, so it wasn't even an issue. And I worked at Aldi Incorporated for 14 years. You know how many Sundays I worked in 14 years? One. I worked one Sunday. And it was on a 13-day stretch. We were closed, but I was working. It was during a trial time in my life that God called me to test me to see if I was really wanting to put Him first or my career. And I remember when they started opening all these stores on Sunday and we got a new district manager. New district managers, you know, they're young, they come in, they got all the big ideas and sent me down to the office and told me, well, you got to take your turn working on Sunday just like everybody else. And I said, I understand where you come from. I know you have a job to do and all of that. And I said, but I'm just going to tell you this. I don't work on Sundays. And I don't hold it against you. I don't have any hard feelings towards you. But if you want me to work on Sundays, then I quit. And my district manager immediately said, no, that's not what we're talking about. No. I said, it's either one way or the other. I'm not working on Sundays. This is just the way it is. I don't work on Sundays. I'll go back to Pizza Hut or McDonald's, but I'm not working on Sundays. And they didn't make me work on Sundays, and my co-workers didn't like it. Well, and I'm using that as an illustration. I am not preaching that as a doctrine to you. Do I think that you need to work on Sunday? No, I do not. Do I think that you should be off on Sunday? Yes, I do. Do I think that you need to be in church every time the doors are open? You better believe I do. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to show up every time there is anything going on that has anything to do with the church. If not, then you're a mugwump. I'm preaching to you today. There's other things that's more important. What could possibly be more important than the ministry that God has given you to the body of Christ? What could possibly be more important than cultivating and developing your spiritual life and spiritual relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ? What could possibly be more important than that? I'm not preaching that as a doctrine today, but I'm here to tell you, somewhere along the line, you reach a point in your walk with God that's a point of no return. Where you're either going to go one way or you're going to go the other way, but you can't keep walking down the middle of the road. You're either going to go one way or you're going to go the other way. You reach a point in your life that is a point of no return. Jesus said, you can't put your hand to the plow and look back. Once you've got your hand on the plow, you have reached a point of no return. Many of us in our walks with God, we find ourselves in these places and we're unsure of ourselves and what to do. And I remember years ago, I was dealing with a member of our church, and they called me to ask my advice and said to me that I got a job opportunity that was offered to me. I don't know why I'm hanging on this today, but you better just take it in and deal with it, okay? Because God wants to bless you. How many of you want God to bless you? Amen. And said, I got this job opportunity at Papa Wallace. And it's, if you want to know who this was, this was Cassandra. Got a job at Papa Wallace. But they want me to work on Sundays. Now there is a faithful, passionate disciple of Christ that is going to clock out of church on Sunday to go make tacos. And Brother Rob, you don't understand. You know, if you need a job, you need a job. No, you don't understand. If you need a job, God will give you a good job. But you don't understand, Brother Rob, that we're in economic hard times, and you got to take what you can get. No, you do not have to take whatever you get. And she asked my opinion. And so I said, have you ever heard the phrase, put your foot down? Yes. I said, well, you need to put both of your feet down. And you tell them, you don't work on Sundays. And they didn't hire her. And she went back to school. And she got her bachelor's in nursing. And at 21 years of age, she was down in Carbondale making $21 an hour. But she could have been working at Papa Wallace. I know this may, I'm just using this as an illustration today. I don't know what God is, you know, today I just decided to come to the pulpit and just let God say whatever He wanted to say. And that's exactly what I'm doing. But there is a point that Christ puts in each of our lives. And He says, are you going to follow me or are you not going to follow me? Are you going to live for me or are you not going to live for me? Well, when you go to that church, they make you come down to the front and kneel. That's embarrassing. I don't want to have to come down to the front and kneel. And then when you go there, people are crying and sometimes they're speaking in tongues, and you just never, you know. Let me ask you a question. What is more important to you? Coming down to the altar. You know, sometimes we got to take a step of faith. And sometimes when you get out of that pew and come to the front, you're showing God that you have turned your back on everything else and you're putting Him first. And sometimes that little token, that little ritual of walking to the front and coming to the front and kneeling down before God and saying, in front of everybody, and saying, God, I'm committing to you 100%. So pleases God that He will wash away your sins and give you an eternal promise. Is it worth getting out of your pew and embarrassing yourself to guarantee that you will be with Jesus Christ in eternity, rejoicing and enjoying all of the benefits of heaven? Is it really worth the trouble to get out of your pew and come to the front? Well, that church over there, they have a tank up there with water in it, and you have to get in the water And the preacher, you have to take off your clothes and put on wet clothes, and you have to wear one of those robe things, and he dunks you down. I'm afraid of water. I don't know how to swim. I'm going to drown in 3 feet of water. Some of you are 718 gallons away from making it to heaven. Some of you are 718 gallons and a few odd change ounces of water away from making it to heaven. And we even made it easier for you this year. We bought a 220-volt heater, and we got the water to where we got it up to about 95 degrees now. All of you that got baptized when it was 45 degrees, you got a lot of faith. You had a lot of determination, because not only did you have to get in the water and get wet, you had to get in there and freeze to death. Woo! Now that's talking about some dedication to want to live for God right there. That's talking about a small sacrifice to make it to heaven. For some of us, though, it's just a little thing. But it seems like such a big deal. But it's just a little thing. But for some of us, it's a point of no return. Well, I make that trip to the baptismal tank. And will I identify myself with Jesus Christ? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It's a test of your determination and your consecration to God. Mm-hmm. Are you going to shy back and shirk off and say, you know what, that's not really what I want to do? You've got to make a decision to go one way or the other. You've got to make a decision. You got to make a commitment to Jesus Christ today. To where that when you make up your mind, there's no going back. I can't imagine, can't even fathom in my mind today not living for God. I can't even imagine or fathom in my mind turning around and not following after Jesus Christ anymore. I can't even imagine. I'm sure that anything could happen to cause tragedy and trouble. But if you're truly walking with Christ in the midst of tragedy and trouble, you'll probably wind up being closer to Him than you ever have been in your whole entire life. So I want to ask you today, folks, where are you at on the fence? Are you on that side? Or are you on this side? Or are you sitting in the middle of the fence trying to make up your mind, which way am I going to go? I want us to stand together right now with my wife to come. And this is what I felt led of the Lord to preach to you today. And this is what I felt when the Lord gave me this, that this was not going to be super sensational. Last Sunday's message was super sensational. It was super califragilistic, lixivialidosis, one of those type of messages that you want to go and preach out somewhere. Last Sunday, we preached one of the time messages that you can sell on the internet for money. And the preachers will buy it and preach it at their churches. But you know where I got that message from? God gave it to me. And I preached it that way. It's not my message, folks. It's His. I was telling somebody the other day, sometimes God gives you a scroll that is wrapped up with golden ribbons, and you open it up, Brother Pappas, and on the pulpit, and the words come off of it like eloquence, like Shakespeare, and people are just amazed. And sometimes God gives you a show. Sometimes God just hands it to you, and He says, here is a box, and it's got gold and treasures and jewels in it, and sometimes He gives you a show. He says, go dig it. And I realized when the Lord gave me this message today, this was not going to be a shout message. This was not going to be a rough miles message. This was going to be a decision message that somebody here needs to make up their mind. They need to get to that place in their lives where there is no turning back, a point of no return, where I have made up my mind. I've made up my mind that I'm going to live for God no matter what happens. No matter what comes my way, it's not going to be an if and or. It's not going to be, yeah, but first let me. It's not going to be, well, if the benefits are right. If the hours aren't too long. If I have a nice title and a little office with a window view. Let's bow our heads together right now. And I'm kind of being a little bit facetious here, but understand where I'm coming from today. I'm not trying to talk down to you or disrespect you. And I sense and feel that there are many of you here today that are doing just exactly what the Lord asked me to preach today. You have made up your mind about some things. And you have set yourself on a course that there's no turning back from. I felt the Holy Ghost just then, folks. That some of you have made up your minds and you have set yourself on a course. And God recognizes today that you have done that. That He is going to grow you and reward you as you continue on that journey. Don't turn back. You've got your hand on the plow today. Don't turn back. Everything behind you is going to fade away in the distance and is going to be destroyed when God's judgments come. Don't worry about all of the stuff that has gone behind you. You have put your hand on the plow. Don't turn back and don't look back. This altar is open right now. If there's anyone here that would like to take that step.